Hello, brothers and sisters. We're once again blessed to be able to be with you today in order to study God's Word and to glorify His holy name. So many times we fail to give God the praise and glory He deserves in all that He does for us, in all He enables us to do, and in all the blessings that He bestows upon us. I come to you today with seriousness of mind and heaviness of heart. Just as He did with Jeremiah in our text today, God is leading me to bring a message of warning to His people in this country. These thoughts that God has put on my mind causes me to weep for a nation whose foundation was based upon the oracles of God. But we are now looking at a time when we must face something similar to what Judah faced at the hands of an almighty God. I love this country for what it was founded on and what it stood for in the past in giving praise to the one true and living God and not falling prey to false religious ideologies that have caused so many oppressions and heartaches in other countries. You know, what I can see on the horizon reflecting to scriptures of the old prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and even the minor prophets, I see the same warning, the very same warning and happenings for this country. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now, brothers and sisters, that's where we are today. Our fate rests in the hands of the Almighty, Sovereign Creator of the universe. Only God's children can perceive these things and discern what is being said here today. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, modern man has been steadily drifting away from God and moving toward comforts and conveniences and preferences of man himself. Religion has become more and more man-centered and less God-centered. Sermons are designed to build up man's self-esteem and give him confidence. Religious music is geared toward the popular rhythm and beat of the music of the secular world. Church activities have become worldly activities. The argument is that the church has to keep up with the times in being able to entice young people to come to church. The attitude of the modern church is that if young people like ball games, the church needs to have ball games. If young people like music concerts, these rock concerts, then the church needs Christian rock music in the church. And the young people need to be entertained with concerts, trips to the racetrack, hockey games, whatever. It's no wonder our country is in the shape it's in. We're teaching our young people to worship God by entertaining themselves. As they get older, get married, and have children, they'll teach their children the same traditions of worship that they learned. The things that I have just mentioned about the modern church, you know, it's caused a dilemma in this country that is spreading through almost all aspects of our society. Now, you see, God's children have been taught these things over a short period of time, and they have been indoctrinated to believe that this way is the good way. Those who are not God's children do not understand the things of God anyway. So they perceive that the ways of the modern church are the ways of religion. That's why we need to seek the old paths. A few weeks ago, I saw a friend who Nancy and I used to go to church with. He invited us to an old-fashioned tent meeting that the church was sponsoring. The next day, as we were going to town, we drove by the site, and the huge tent was already up and about half full of folding chairs. People were busy working to get ready for this special event. We were very encouraged by what we saw. On the way home from town, we went by to see what progress had been made. The big tent was full of chairs, but the tent was now surrounded by even bigger inflated games for children. The place looked like a carnival. What a missed opportunity. What could have been an opportunity to focus on the Lord and reach out to the community in the name of the Lord turned into a focus on worldly fun and games. In the past several years, we've seen so much division in this country. We've had riots and violent protests. We've heard hate speech coming from college students and professors. Even news media anchors are more and more prone to offensive profanity. Every time you turn on the TV, this is what you're seeing. Then came Hurricane Harvey and Irma. The devastation was horrible. The magnitude of flooding has never been seen in the history of this country. The damage was in the hundreds of billions of dollars. But in the aftermath of this disaster, we heard stories of neighbors helping neighbors, thousands of volunteers helping in rescue operation, millions donated their money and necessities to provide for those who will be in shelters. That's the way it's supposed to be, brothers and sisters. That's the way the Bible teaches. So that makes me know that there is still a change for America. It is very encouraging that in times of disaster, Americans can unite regardless of race or ethnic background and help each other. This is the way it should be. Americans doing what is ethically and morally right. Prior to Hurricanes Harvey and Irma, we've been seeing too much division in this country, instigated by people who hate America and hate our president and want this country to collapse. They stage riots and cause violence in order to portray a negative picture of what our country is like. But America is what you have seen in the compassion and mercy shown to the hurricane victims and the help that has come from all over America. In Texas and in Florida, we've seen a glimpse of the America we are about to lose if we don't turn back to God. Now, brothers and sisters, we're at a crossroads, like Judah in the days of Jeremiah. We've seen too much corruption in our government and too much sin and depravity in our nation. Our scripture today is what God told Jeremiah to tell the nation of Judah in Jeremiah the 6th chapter and the 16th verse. The word of God reads, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to totally understand here today that God is talking to His children. They are the only ones who can understand what He's talking about. They are the only ones who can comprehend the old paths. It's been given to those of God, and it is foolishness to the natural man. The natural man is the man who hasn't been born again, who doesn't have the Spirit of God dwelling in him. It's up to God's children to preach, to pray, exhort, teach, lead, and reflect. Influence our society in the ways that God would have a righteous nation live in a wicked world. Now Jeremiah brings this message to Judah soon before their captivity in Babylon. Jeremiah lived and prophesied during Judah's midnight hour. In 3 to 4 years, Judah would be no more. Spiritually, things were a disaster in Judah. Jeremiah had seen the nation pass from the prosperous conditions during the time of Josiah to a state of utter corruption under the last four kings of the southern kingdom. His mission was to testify to a sinful and stubborn people who were both misled and uninterested in returning to the ways of God. Now, like Judah, our nation was founded on the oracles of God. Our founding fathers' intent was to establish a nation under God, and that's what they did. Our Constitution limits government to the responsibility of securing the God-given, unalienable rights of the governed. The Constitution expressly prohibits the federal government from violating states' rights and individual rights. The nation of Judah, they knew right. They knew right from wrong. They had the scriptures. They had the prophets. They had the prophets to warn them when they drifted away from the standards that God gave them. Now, our nation was established as a Christian nation. In the beginning, our standard of right and wrong was the Word of God. The Bible directs us in a straight line. It is the straight and narrow path. It's interesting how, through the ages, the word straight has been a word whose meaning has been associated with telling the truth or walking in the truth. When we say we're going to set the record straight, we mean that we're going to correct any information that does not conform to the truth. A straight path does not deviate from its intended course. In Jesus' first message, the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7, He admonishes His followers to enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. It leads to truth, not error. God's Word is the basis of all truth. America is a nation that was founded not by human religionists, not by self-serving humanists, or even atheists, but by Bible-believing Christians. In the early days of our country's history, the church was a positive influence. Many looked to the church as an authority of right and wrong. But somewhere along the line, the church lost its position of authority. What happened? God's commandments are specific. Bible doctrine is harmonious and unified. And God's requirement that we follow the straight path and practice what the Bible teaches is indisputable. So what happened, brothers and sisters? What happened to this country, this nation, that was founded upon the oracles of God? Like the nation of Judah, this nation of America has drifted far from God. How did we end up so far from where we started? God told Jeremiah in chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, "For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, It is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine." Judah had no fear of God. They belied the Lord and said, "Evil won't come upon us, neither will we see sword nor famine. God won't do anything to us." Isn't that America's attitude? We went all out now for human rights, rights of feminists, women's rights to abortion, rights of homosexuals, transgenders, and transvestites. But we forgot about the rights of unborn babies and the right to life of every human being. We have allowed child abuse, pedophilia, child trafficking. We call pornography art and the freedom of expression. And those who have been blessed by free enterprise in this country to become wealthy feel free to disrespect our flag, our national anthem, and the laws of God that this nation was founded on. Notice now the last two verses of chapter 5. This is God's assessment of spiritual things. A wonderful and horrible thing has happened in Judah. The prophets teach false doctrine. The priests rule with strong and merciless hand. And here's the disaster. My people love to have it so. The prophets cry, "Peace, peace," and there is no peace. The priests commit abomination. That is, they fornicate with young female worshipers and are not one bit ashamed of this sin. Now here Judah is living in sin and loving it. No demands from their religion. No care for the poor. No requirements of holiness. Why, even the prophets and the priests live as they please. They are doing what they wanted to do, and they don't think God will do anything to them. They became very liberal. Liberal in their thinking. Culturally, the word liberal means favoring reform, open to new ideas, tolerant of the ideas and behavior of others, and not bound by traditional thinking. The Israelites in Judah were open to the new ways. They learned from the pagans, and they moved forward, leaving behind the scriptural standards and commandments of their God. They declared themselves free to do whatever they wanted to do. And you know, we've done this the very same thing, and that's what's happening in America today. Throughout biblical history, when Israel and Judah disrespected God, they disrespected themselves, their families, their local societies, the church, and the leaders of the country, and the country itself. A country's fall into ruin begins when people disrespect God. When a people turn against God like America did, when Bible reading and prayer were removed from schools, it begins a downward progression toward immorality and depravity. You know, when America began to disrespect God, people began to disrespect human life. By permitting the murder of unborn babies, people began to disrespect their own bodies. By permitting a sexual revolution that led to adultery and nudity, pornography and homosexuality, they began to disrespect their families by allowing Hollywood to infiltrate their homes with X-rated cable channels. When you really think about it, all of these things, abortion, homosexuality, nudity, adultery, began their influence on mainstream America through Hollywood and the entertainment industry. And now, Hollywood, the music industry, and even the sports industry have taken the lead in disrespecting our country, our president, our flag, and the millions of soldiers who have fought and died for what this country stands for. Now, brothers and sisters, the only way to combat what's been happening in this country is for those who love God, who love this country and what it stands for, to reject these evil influences by not supporting these industries. These industries that I'm talking about. movie stars and musicians and athletes. They make millions of dollars each year because hardworking Americans spend money on movie tickets, concert tickets, and tickets to ball games. Hardworking Americans pay for cable channels to watch these things on TV. You know, we need to join together right now and stop supporting the evil that is destroying America. It's like I was telling you a few minutes ago. People who are liberal, they favor or permit freedom of action. They reject logical and biblical standards, often for self-centered reasons. This is what happened to Judah. They did what they wanted to do, regardless of what the scriptures said. In the beginning, when God led the children of Israel to the promised land, the heathen nation saw the great wonders their God did in defeating their enemies. America is the greatest nation that the world has ever known. More discoveries and achievements have taken place in America than any other country. America has done more to support and protect other countries and peoples than any other country that has ever existed. More American soldiers have died on foreign soil protecting the oppressed than any other country in world history. America has been there during disasters, famines, earthquakes, storms, in order to feed other nations and to help other nations to recuperate from those things. But too many people in America haven't been taught our history. Too many people in America hate this country. They want new ways. New ways. They want socialism. They want handouts from the government. And because they haven't been taught history, they don't realize that God's way is the only good way. God told Judah, "Your children have forsaken me." God's children had not taught their own children to fear the Lord, to obey His commandments, and to worship Him. God says, "I fed them, but they committed adultery, and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were fed as horses in the morning. Then every one neighed after his neighbor's wife." God told them, "When I bring my terrible wrath upon you, you're going to say, 'What have we done to make God so angry with us?' And God will tell them, 'Ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land. So shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours.'" Judah had worshipped strange gods in their own land. So as punishment, God was going to make them serve strangers in a land that was not theirs. God was telling Judah, "For your sins against me, I'm sending you into captivity in a land that does not belong to you, and you will be servants of the people in that land." Now, did the people of Judah listen to the Lord? No, they didn't. Here's what God said about them. "These people have a revolting and rebellious heart. They don't say, 'Let's fear the Lord, who gives rain in due season and reserves to us the appointed weeks of harvest.' Because of your sins, I have withheld good things from you. Among my people are wicked men whose houses are full of deceit. They become great and they prosper. They get fat and rich and overlook the needs of the fatherless and the poor. Shall I not visit you for these things? Shall my soul not be avenged on such a nation as this?" Jeremiah took God's warning to his people, but they would not listen. Jeremiah prophesied to God's people, but they would not heed his warnings. Prophecy is a sign of God's nearness and concern. It's a sign that the Lord is still there with his people to build up, tear down, or console. Prophecy serves as God's way of getting through to people in a particular situation. It can, within that context, offer a view of what is to come, especially if repentance is not forthcoming. This is true for societies as a whole. The prophets and the apostles of old pronounced judgment on all and called all to righteousness, even the pagans, for societal evil and injustice. God gave Jeremiah a burden for these people. He gave Jeremiah a message, a warning. And Jeremiah talked until he was blue in the face, but it did no good. Jeremiah asked, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not all ashamed, neither could they blush. Nothing embarrassed them. Finally, God said, 'Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls.' But the children of Judah said, 'We will not walk therein.'" What happened to Judah? God did exactly what he told them he would do. He did everything short of completely destroying them. He scattered them into every nation. They had no nation, and they had no land. 400 years ago, our Puritan forefathers came to this land to escape religious persecution in England. They believe that God led them to this country, just like he led the children of Israel to the promised land. This was their promised land. They lived a simple life, worshiped God, and taught their children to worship God. Most learned to read using the Bible. But when printing presses were invented and books were printed, we got away from the Bible to teach our children to read. Many families now still read the Bible together and pray together and worship together. But then our nation got caught up in sports and entertainment, and so many other things replaced Bible reading and prayer. Then we became like Judah. We didn't teach our children to fear the Lord. We didn't teach them his commandments. We didn't teach them to obey him or worship him. God prospered this nation, but her children committed adultery and neglected to teach their children to fear the Lord and obey his commandments and worship him. And a generation rose up so wicked and corrupt that they followed every imagination of their heart. And how similar are we today to the nation of Judah? We live in an age of advancement, an age of science and technology, an age of communication and transportation, an age of recreation and entertainment, an age of tolerance and peace, and in an age in which the theology and religion matches this advancement. We live in an age of liberal, advanced theological ideas in which God is a God of love and tolerance, in which man is basically a good creature who just needs to be tolerated and he will be all right. A theology in which there are many ways to God, a theology according to which the world is improving. We live in an age of advancement in regard to worship. Short sermons with two or three points carefully outlined and short catchy phrases, and drama, skits, and song lyrics projected on the wall instead of hymn books. And in all this, the prophet's word comes loud and clear. Stand ye in the way. Ask for the old paths. Walk therein. And sadly, the answer of many is the same. We will not walk therein. You see, we are a liberal nation. I'm not talking about politics now. I want you to understand right now, I'm not referring to politics. I'm talking about our culture, the way in which we think and live. People who are liberal favor or permit freedom of action. They reject logical and biblical standards, often for self-centered reasons. This is what happened to Judah. They did what they wanted to do, regardless of what the scriptures said. And that's what has happened to us today. Judah didn't want to seek the old paths, and neither do we. We want to be modern, not old-fashioned. We want the latest fashion, no matter how absurd it looks. We want the latest technology, no matter how much obscenity and pornography it brings into our homes. We want to be allowed to do as we please, so we justify anything that makes us feel good. And Jeremiah asked now, the old prophet Jeremiah asked, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, the Bible says, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. And our liberal thinking argues, it's okay as long as we're enjoying ourselves and no one's getting hurt. That's it, as long as no one's getting hurt. And we don't even stop to think about who we're hurting. Immoral sexual activity is rampant in this country, but so is AIDS and sexually transmitted disease. The Bible says, do not commit adultery. When we obey God's laws, we're protected from such diseases. Now in another case, God says, do not covet, but we gamble, buy lottery tickets with money needed to feed our families just because we want to get rich without expending any labor. Who does this hurt? It hurts children who go to bed hungry. It hurts families who lose their homes when daddy can't pay the mortgage. And it hurts society because it takes money to rehabilitate those who become compulsive gamblers. And you know many people like that, but still people gamble. And they use up all the money that they've earned this week and last week and a month ago and a year ago. And they're living on borrowed time, can't even pay for their rent, can't even pay for their house payment, can't buy groceries for those kids that are hungry there at home. You know, God's laws are there for a reason, but we want to be progressive. We want to be modern. We don't want any old fogies telling us we have to obey laws that are thousands of years old. You know, as a result of our liberal Free-thinking people, our churches have become like the rest of the world. We need the latest technology in our churches, is what they say. We need sports and entertainment to keep the masses happy and occupied. We need to make man feel good with peppy songs and keep the sermon short and positive so we don't offend anyone. You know, we're spending less time, a lot less time, praising God, and more time praising man. During our worship services, we take time to sing Happy Birthday. That's praising man. Announce car washes, cookouts, ball games. We have dramas and skits and leave 10 to 15 minutes to preach the Word of God. That's what man needs today, brothers and sisters, is the Word of God. Preachers and evangelists are claiming God's power when they say, my goal is to get 1 million people into heaven. Our churches are trying to find new ways to appeal to the world, to attract people. God doesn't change, brothers and sisters, and God's word does not change. So we have no business trying to change God's church to appeal to the world. And while playing church and having good times, evil men have taken this country hostage. And God asked Judah, shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? God will do unto us as he did unto Israel and Judah. This country has turned its back on God in banning prayer and Bible reading in our schools, killing babies in the womb, and legalizing same-sex marriage. This country has exhibited all the symptoms that it wants to be rid of God. I think God has said, you want to be rid of me? Here it is. You're on your own. God asked Jeremiah, is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even now I have seen it, saith the Lord. And here is the scary part, brothers and sisters. Therefore pray not for this people, neither lift up crying or prayer for them, neither make intercession for them to me, for I will not hear them. This is where liberal thinking leads us. God said, stand ye in the ways, and see. And as for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Why do we need to ask for the old paths? God said, it's the good way, and if we walk therein, we will find rest for our souls. Now here are the old paths, brothers and sisters. Here are the old paths. In doctrine, the old paths are the scriptural teaching of the absolute sovereignty of God in salvation, of election, of heaven and hell. The old paths are Scripture's teaching about man and who he is, totally depraved, unable to do any good, spiritually dead. They are Scripture's teaching on unconditional election. God chose his people, not because they are better, but out of grace. The old paths include what Scripture says about the cross and special atonement. That is that Christ died for his sheep. The old paths teach an irresistible grace of God. That is grace that is stronger than the will of man, so that this grace cannot be resisted or rejected by man. The old paths lay down the truth of the preservation and perseverance of the saints, that there is security for God's people in salvation. In worship, the old paths are simply this. Follow the God-ordained way of worship. Set down in his word. He will be worshipped only as he is ordained. He will have his people taught by lively preaching and not by dumb images or movies and drama. In Christian living, God's word provides the path that must be followed, the way of holiness, of godliness, of obedience to his commandments. The old path is the good way because, you know, it's God's way. It's God's way, brothers and sisters. God is good, wise, and perfect. And what he sets down for man to do is in agreement with his goodness. This means that this way is good for the church and good for the child of God. The old path is the good way because it is the way of rest for your soul. Rest for weary souls of sinners only on the old paths. May the Lord bless you as you continue to study his word and seek the old paths.